You're listening to Preferred Company, giving you information on the world of home health care. Here's Joel Markell and Marianne Levy on WOBMAM 1160 and 1310.
And right now, I want to introduce Amy Brown. Amy, welcome to Preferred Company.
Thank you, Joel. Thanks for having us.
Amy, you are part of the... I'll tell you what, why don't you tell our Preferred listeners where you come out of and what your job title is, because I'm very excited to have you here today.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here. So I work in the office of the Ombudsman, the New Jersey Long-Term Care Ombudsman. In fact, James McCracken, who is the Ombudsman, was here, I think, about a week ago or
Indeed.
2 weeks ago speaking with you.
Yes, he was.
So James is my boss, and I am currently the director of outreach and advocacy for a great program that we're going to talk about today, I Choose Home New Jersey, which is also known as Money Follows the Person.
Tell me a little bit about that, because I know only a little bit about that, but I'm fascinated with it.
Sure. So I Choose Home New Jersey is a federal and state joint initiative across the country that has two main goals. The first is to move individuals out of long-term care and back into community-based living. And the second piece of that is for every person that we're able to successfully move, New Jersey gets a reimbursement from the feds that saves us tax dollars, and those savings get reinvested into more home and community-based services. So it's moving individuals out, but at the same time growing the system in a larger way so that more and more people can stay at home.
Okay, so where are the dollars being taken from? What kind of programs are the dollars being taken from?
Great question. So normally in New Jersey, for most Medicaid programs, New Jersey foots about 50% of the bill and the feds put the other 50%, roughly. I mean, that's a generalization. So with I Choose Home, for every elderly or disabled person that we can move out of a nursing home or group or developmental center back into the community, New Jersey gets an enhanced match from the feds. So the money is coming from the federal government. For the first year that we can transition a person out, New Jersey gets a 25% enhanced federal match. And that 25% savings is going into a pot that we're going to reinvest into home and community-based services.
And how successful have you been in, when I listen to all of these ingenious ideas, and they truly are, I always say to myself, there are so many obstacles to get from here to there. You have to jump through so many hoops to make any kind of change, particularly when there are laws involved. You're not just dealing with the neighborhood. You're dealing with the federal government. You're dealing with the state government. How difficult is it to accomplish what you are setting out to do?
That's a great question. I mean, I think we've had a lot of success. For example, over the past few years, we've moved over 900 people out of nursing homes and developmental centers back into community-based placements.
All in New Jersey.
And I'm sorry, I wish I had the stats by county. I don't have them with me. But the savings right now stand at about $5 million. Through 2020, we're looking at transitioning roughly 2,200 people total out, for a cost savings of about $35 million. So it's starting to have an impact. It is having an impact. But I think, you know, part of your question that's really important and interesting is that there are barriers. There are barriers to moving people out. And I would say the number one barrier is the lack of affordable housing in New Jersey. A lot of people that we deal with don't have family to go back to. For the people that have family to go back to, that's an easy lift, right? Or an easier lift because they have a home. But a lot of people in nursing homes, as you know, have given up their homes or their apartments and to go on Medicaid, and now they're looking to go back out, and they need assistance finding affordable housing. And that, I would say, is our number one barrier in our program.
Well, if you take somebody who's on Medicaid, for instance, and many of the people that we meet at Preferred are Medicaid recipients, how could you possibly muster up enough money so as to provide housing, food, other necessities of life, and I can't think of them right now, but let's just say housing and food, two biggies. where are those funds going to be taken from and given to?
Yeah. Well, it's important to remember that for this program, Medicaid is only paying for services, health services to be provided. So when a person comes out of a nursing home, they retain their income. So say a person is receiving SSDI in the amount of $1,800 or something like that per month. When someone is in the nursing home, they're turning over that money to the nursing home to help share the cost with Medicaid. But when they come out into the community, they retain their income, which is very important because obviously people have to pay rent and food, like you're saying. And for a lot of people, that isn't easy. You know, the income cap for the program we're talking about is $2,130 a month. You have to make less than that per month to be eligible for Global Options.
Does that include Social Security?
Yes.
It does.
That's total. That's gross.
Okay.
So, you know, the income limits are, you know, still quite low, I think. And that is a big barrier for people. But I think, you know, the fact that we've been able to transition out so many people, and by definition, all of these people we're talking about are low-income individuals who are eligible for these services, you know, I think is a testament to the fact that it can be done, but it requires a little bit of creativity, and it also requires, you know, our staff and our colleagues on the ground doing a lot of work, you know, to try to identify affordable housing for people and to set up the appropriate supports and services so that it can be sustainable. We don't want to send people out into the community and then have them, you know, come back.
Here's a guess. And it's just because sometimes my thinking goes into places that other people's do not. My question is this, or this is my hunch, that there are actually people on the other side, meaning that there are people who are resisting what you are doing because they are benefiting from people not being discharged. Am I right?
I think there's a little bit of that going on. I think that there's a little bit of that, you know, inherent in some of the industry practices. I think, you know, what we're doing is trying to be really savvy about our education and marketing. So, for example, I have four field staff who are working throughout New Jersey. They're going into every single nursing home and meeting in a very targeted way with social workers, with residents, and kind of, you know, trying to get the message out more on the ground. And they're also meeting with administrators and, you know, VPs and things like that when it's appropriate. But I think, you know, working directly with social workers whose calling is really to help people and to help people maximize their autonomy and do what they want is very important. And we have a lot of buy-in from social workers and from most facilities. You know, I would say that the vast majority of facilities are receptive. And one of the ways that I like to talk about this is to say, you know, we're not looking to take anyone's business. We're looking to make sure that the most appropriate individuals are in the most appropriate places. So there are some people that absolutely need to be in a nursing home. They're not going to be successful in the community if they don't have enough supports and services to keep them safe. You know, we all acknowledge that. But, you know, there are a lot of people in nursing facilities who may be able to do it, who may be able to go out with supports and services. And we just want to make sure that, you know, that the nursing facility industry is housing the most appropriate clientele for them and for us and for the individuals. And, you know, I think that makes sense. I also think that makes business sense, too.
Well, you know, when people think of nursing homes, they only think of the elderly. And I have probably visited every nursing home and assisted living facility in this. I don't want to exaggerate, but I have been invited into many because of preferred home health care and nursing services. We are really all in the business of care, and we're trying to do our very best by working with the very best. So we seek each other out, and I am always complimented when people approach preferred for a visit into their facility. I have learned, and it's no longer a surprise, that a lot of people in these facilities are young.
Yes, they are.
And these are either people who might have been accident victims, have certain illnesses, brain injuries, where there really is no chance of them staying at home for various reasons, no family to take care of them in some cases, sadly, and I blame no one, but sadly, families that just don't want to be taken care of a loved one where it's just, it's too much for them. I am sure the population that you're describing that you would like to take take out of a nursing home includes younger people as well.
Yes, it does. It absolutely does. A lot of the people that we're identifying in nursing homes, as you just said, are not 65 and up. Well, I'd say, you know, the majority of them are, but there's a growing population of people who are between the age of 18 to 64 who really, really could benefit from moving to the community. Also, and those people that I'm talking about right now are disabled people. Any range, very wide range of physical disabilities. And we've transitioned a bunch of those people out also. And you're absolutely right. I think, you know, it's very sad when you go into nursing homes and you see, you know, younger people kind of languishing there.
Now, do you have the insurance companies backing you? Much of the work that Preferred does is paid for by auto insurance, other insurances if somebody has had a work accident and they end up in a facility but want to come home. Will the insurance companies cooperate with the goal that you're trying to achieve?
I think that's a really interesting question. I mean, we're dealing exclusively with the Medicaid system. And as you know, the Medicaid system in the home care world is about to be privatized starting next year. And there are four managed care organizations that are going to be involved with that. We're developing those relationships, and I think that's really important. Other types of insurance providers, no, because I don't think that's so relevant to our project, but definitely insurance companies as it relates to Medicaid, the Medicaid system is going to become more and more relevant. And I'm just realizing I still haven't said the phone number or the contact information for the program, so I'd kind of like
to
do that.
Well, I should say, because we are filling up, Preferred Home Healthcare and Amy Brown, Director of Outreach and Advocacy of the New Jersey, say it for me, because I'm
Ombudsman.
Ombudsman, a word that I...
it's a little challenging for everyone.
A little, right, it just doesn't roll off the tongue. Are doing an event together, and the event is going to be on September 20th at 2 to 4 o'clock at Health South. Now, this is not the Health South in Toms River. It's at 2 Center Plaza in Tinton Falls. And you are going to be talking about the exact topic that is going on today for people who are interested in transitioning from a facility to
a home placement or
right.
a more independent setting. Yeah, and I'll also be talking a little bit about the Ombudsman's Office and what we do and how we can assist people. And I'll also be talking a little bit about, home and community-based services more generally.
When we talk about the Ombudsman's Office, is it confined to this type of work, or is it a much broader...
The Ombudsman's Office is much broader than what I'm talking about right now. And as, you know, Jim McCracken spoke about when he was on with you...
It was actually Jonathan that
Oh, that's day. Right, that's right.
I happened
right.
to be
I'm
away,
sorry,
but,
you weren't here.
But I am planning on listening to the show this Sunday.
Yeah,
but,
so the Ombudsman's Office does a much wider range of work than this transition work. The Ombudsman's Office is an advocacy agency that seeks to be the voice of residents who are living in long-term care settings and helps them resolve complaints. We do a lot of investigations about abuse and financial exploitation within facilities. We have a lot of different policy initiatives within our office, and this I Choose Home project is just one. We have a whole project about advanced care planning and the importance of making your wishes known. We have an amazing volunteer advocacy program that if anyone who's listening wants to be a volunteer for the Ombudsman's Office, you know, we welcome you. It's a very robust and great great program.
Is there a training that's involved?
There is. There are 32 hours of very intensive training. It's very serious. It's very professional. And then people are assigned to one nursing home that they cover, and they're basically the eyes and ears of the ombudsman's program in that facility. It's not like a friendly visitor. It's much more kind of authority and responsibility goes into that work, and it's very rewarding. We have a lot of our volunteers are very, very satisfied when they participate in that program.
Now, when it comes to transitioning people from a facility, first of all, I want to say something because I've been thinking it the entire interview. There is a real place and need in this state for nursing homes. It's not as if, because I'm an advocate of home health care, that I think that everybody should be taken care of at home. It is actually on the contrary. There is a real need for quality care in nursing homes. And I will tell you from my relationships with nursing homes and having been in nursing homes, that is one tough industry. You know, providing care to that many seniors with families who are only looking for the very best and perhaps catch a moment where they're not satisfied with care, it is one hell of a business to be in where you don't go home with a headache every single day.
Absolutely. And absolutely, I want people to understand that this is not to slam on nursing homes at all. The nursing home industry exists and exists for a very good reason and provides, generally speaking, very high quality of care, I think, in New Jersey. But I think, you know, one of the things that most people realize is that, you know, a lot of people who end up in nursing homes, you know, may have preferred not to end up there. They might have preferred to exist in their home a little bit longer, even if they do end up in a nursing facility down the line. I think there's just a very big lack of knowledge and awareness in New Jersey that, you know, a nursing home is not necessarily your only option. I think a lot of people get older, maybe
it's
someone...
It's so important to educate the public about that.
It's so important because I think a lot of people are not even aware, and especially a lot of low-income people in New Jersey, they don't even know that you can get nursing facility level of care in your own home through Global Options, through the Medicaid program. They
right.
have no idea. You know, we do a lot of public speaking, and a lot of consumers come up to us and they say, oh, I didn't even know this program existed. I wish I had known. My mom fell. She went to rehab and we didn't know what to do. So she just stayed in the nursing home, you know?
Now, the ombudsman's office, are you actually going out and renting or buying real estate? How is it that, I mean, to me, it all sounds wonderful. Here I am, the owner of Preferred Home Healthcare and Nursing Services. I would love for everybody to live the rest of their lives at home. But that isn't necessarily, it's not realistic, okay? Where is the real estate coming from to provide housing for all the people that you would like to take out of nursing
sure.
homes into,
no,
into their
homes?
No,
that's a great question. As I said before, affordable housing is our biggest barrier. One of the things we're working on, and I won't say too much about it because it's not really defined yet, but we're looking at ways to partner with housing authorities and with HMFA possibly to either develop more housing in New Jersey for people who would transition out, or to make partnerships with housing authorities so that we could entice them to accept more people who are transitioning out of nursing homes. It's something we're definitely working on, and we have money to do that. Now, of course, it is going to be a drop in the bucket compared to the entire need of the people in the state of New Jersey for affordable housing. We're not going to solve that problem. And I agree with you. You know, we need more places to transition people to. And in the meanwhile, we're just doing our best to identify, you know, any and all places where people may be able to go that are options for them. And as I said, we've managed to transition a bunch of people. So it's not like it's impossible. It's just challenging.
Well, I do want to remind our preferred listeners that there is an event that will be speaking even more in depth about what Amy has brought to us today, and that will be on September 20th from 2 to 4 p.m. at HealthSouth at 2 Center Plaza in Tinton Falls. And if you would like more information, I suggest that you call Katie at the preferred office. Katie is lovely, so you're going to be speaking to one of the loveliest people in home healthcare, and her number is 732-840-5566. Again, it's 732-840-5566. Everyone will have a chance to meet Amy Brown, who will be, I guess, guest speaker at the event. I certainly am looking forward to being there and listening to all that you have to. I'm fascinated with what you're doing, and I think if people knew the gift that you are trying to provide to residents in nursing homes that can have the chance to live outside, it's a wonderful thing. So I will say God bless if I can. Really, it's God's work that you're doing. And
thank you very much.
All luck to you and the ombudsman's office, you know, entirely. So
thank you, Joel.
Thank you so much for being here today with me on Preferred Company. I will be back with Marianne Levy after these messages.